tonight we have the wonderful blessing and opportunity to be able to gather together around the Lord's table. There we were reminded of all that the Savior gave for us. How precious it is to know that our Savior gave everything. He withheld nothing from us. He gave His life a ransom that we might be redeemed. He counted us worthy, and He counted us of great value. As I consider the Lord's table, I'm often reminded of the words found of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I want to remind you just quickly of verse 6 through 8. For it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of the servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I shared this with you before, but as I think of those verses, I think it's important that we be reminded again of what Jesus Christ did for us. What those verses simply tell us this, what they tell us is this, that upon all the consideration of every fact, the Lord Jesus Christ did not consider the expression of His deity to be of greater value than your soul or mine. He willingly laid aside all of the rights that were His as God. He left the glory of heaven and He came to earth. And He took upon Himself the form of His own creation that He might redeem that sinful creation. Why? Because He considered you of great value. And therefore, He gave His all. Tonight, we return to our series on worship. And tonight, I want us to consider as part of the elements of worship, what is the fourth element. And that is what we have entitled our presentation or our giving. Before we do that, though, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? And then we'll take up our thoughts together tonight. Father, we thank You tonight for our Savior. We thank You for His love. We thank You that He came to this earth because He valued our soul and longed to redeem us who were unworthy of Your love. Father, as we consider what He gave for us, then certainly tonight it should not be hard for us to consider what we would give unto Him. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that You would teach us and that You would help us. We'll thank You, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We stated a couple weeks back that worship, or the worship of God, is the highest ministry of the church and must come from devoted hearts and yielded wills. The church is called upon to worship the Lord. It is our primary duty. Yet we understand, and sadly so, that the Lord Jesus Christ today is not receiving adequate worship from those redeemed by His precious blood. In too many places, worship has been focused upon the needs of man and not upon the person of our God. Our only thoughts seem to be what we can get from a service instead of what we can give unto the Lord through those services. We are seeking to understand at this point the essential elements that belong in our worship. We have talked about a prepared heart. We have talked about praise, and this morning we consider the thought of prayer. Tonight we want to consider our presentation. We want to consider the thought of our giving unto the Lord. There are many today who again would not regard giving as an essential element of worship. They would instead see it as an optional opportunity. Well, folks, I think tonight as we come to the Word of God, as we consider these thoughts together this evening, that you and I will begin to understand that part of our worship is our giving unto the Lord. Like all the previous elements that we have considered, there is a proper understanding of that element, and there is also a false pretense. And that is true when it comes to the giving of our tithes and our offerings unto the Lord. You and I need to ensure that we seek biblical instruction in regards to our giving, and we need to reject the tactics that men have added on to what God would require. Again, our offerings to the Lord, our giving, our presenting of our gifts is an act of worship. It is an expression of worship. And worship, I will remind you over and again throughout the study, is centered on the person of God, not on the needs of man. The essence of our worship requires that we focus our thoughts and everything that we do upon God. Yet we are so able to easily distort all that God has given to us, and we have so been misguided that we have changed these wonderful blessings that God has given as acts of worship, and we have focused them upon ourselves. Yet folks, the reality is you and I are to give as an act of our worship. I'll remind you of Psalm 96, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 96, verse 8 and 9. There we read these words: "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Here we find that in worship there is a connection between our worship, our giving to God the glory due His name, and our giving. Again, we are told to give unto the Lord the glory due His name and to bring an offering as we come into His courts. We are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Connected with our worship is our giving of the offering to the Lord. And I think there's a very clear connection between our worship and that of our giving. Again, there are many today who want to discount that is not part of our worship. But folks, I believe that it is. I want you to see with me this evening, first of all, the place of the offering. The place of the offering. We are talking about our worship, our services geared that we might give unto Him the glory due His name, that we might ascribe unto Him who is worthy of our worship that proper worth, for He is our Redeemer and Creator. What part does an offering have in worship? What is its place? Each element that we have already considered, again, we note has been important, and we note it has its rightful place, and so is it true with our presentation. Praise provides for us the opportunity to express our worship in a unified voice. As one voice, we are able to sing, as one congregation, to lift our voice and to give God our praise. There is no other way for us to do that so easily as through that of song. To be able to give to God our praise in a unified voice. Prayer, as we consider this morning, is the expression of our worship, and it is personal. It comes directly from the heart of the one that leads in prayer. Through praise, we are able to ascribe to God the glory in a unified voice. By the means of prayer, we can express to Him His worth, our devotion and our dedication unto Him. The fact that we are now fully dependent upon Him. We can do that as a personal expression through the means of prayer. What part does the giving have? The element of presentation allows for each individual person to express their personal devotion according to their own means and according to their own desires. There is no other part of worship, folks, that allows you as the individual to personally participate in so wonderfully as the giving of an offering. It's private. It's between you and God. No one else knows. But it's an opportunity for you to personally express your devotion and your worship to the Lord. And there is a place for the offering within the worship service. As we continue tonight, though, I want you to see with me the particulars of the offering. And this is where we want to spend the majority of our time tonight. As we consider the offerings that we receive, the taking up of the offering, there are two basic types of offerings that we want to consider tonight. Two offerings that we can give as a New Testament believer. I defined them this way for you. First of all, there is the first fruits offering, or what we call the tithe. There is an opportunity for me to give the first of all that God has blessed me with through the means of our tithe. But there is also then the free will offering. We typically just call that our offering. So we talk about our tithe and our offering. One is offered as the first fruits of all that God has blessed me with. It's an acknowledgement that every provision comes from Him. And the other is simply a free will offering, an expression of my devotion, my love for God, and all that He has done for me. I want you to open your Bible tonight with me to the book of Deuteronomy in the 12th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 12 this evening. Some would wonder, where does the tithe and offering come from? Deuteronomy chapter 12, I think, gives us some principles upon which we build our giving unto the Lord. I want you to see a few things with me, if you could, from this passage. Look at Deuteronomy 12, look at verse 5 and 6. It says, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings by your hand, and your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of the herds and of your flocks." God is giving a principle to the people of Israel, and the principles that we find apply to us today still. Now, you and I are not in the same category that they are in. There are some things here that are not for us. We do not bring a sacrifice to the services of the church. We don't bring a lamb and we don't slay them and we don't have a burnt sacrifice. You don't bring a heave offering into the church today. But there are still the tithes and there is still the offering, the free will offering. What do we learn from this passage? First of all, I want you to see with me, there is to be a designated place. There is to be a designated place. God said that there is a place designated for His people. And they are required there to come and to bring an offering. Now folks, we realize that in the Old Testament that was one of two places. Under the law, it was either to the tabernacle, but later that would be Jerusalem where they would come and they would offer their sacrifice. They would bring their offerings, their heave offerings, their sacrifices, their burnt offerings. They would bring their tithe. They would bring the firstlings of their flock. They would bring the freewill offering to the Lord. When they came to Jerusalem, they were expected to bring an offering to a designated place they were to go. Now, folks, in the New Testament, I think we understand clearly that the designated place is the local church. You can study through the New Testament and you can find Paul's instruction to the Corinthian church that on the first day of the week they were to bring their tithes, their offerings, their gifts to the storehouse, to the local church. So there is a designated place for you and I to give our offering to the Lord. There is a place designated for us to come and to worship. And we worship through our giving within the local church. But a second, I want you to note with me, there were determined gifts. There were determined gifts. You notice those in verse 6, the burnt offering, the sacrifices, the tithes, the heave offerings, your vows and the free will, and the firstlings of the herd and the flock. God said these are determined for you to bring to that determined place. God had for us some determined gifts. In the New Testament age, we know that we're no longer again required to bring the burnt offering or the sacrifices. You don't bring to the pastor the firstlings of your sheep so that he could have some sheep in the backyard to graze. That's not the point. But folks, there is still today the tithe and there is still the offering. We're going to talk about some of that more to come. But understand with me, there is an opportunity for us to worship God through the presenting of our gifts in a designed or designated place. It is an expression of my devotion and my love. It is an expression of my worship to the Lord. So when I come to the house of God, I come with my gifts unto Him. I want to take the time tonight and consider the two offerings that we believe exist within our day, the tithe and the free will offering. There are many today who question the validity of such a claim, but I think as we look at them tonight, we'll see them. First of all, would you see with me the presenting of the tithe? The presenting of the tithe. I think you are well aware that the word tithe there means one-tenth or a tenth of all that God has given to us. And so some question today, is the tithe still required of God's people? There are those today who claim that we are no longer under the law and that the tithe is part of the law. Therefore, you and I are free from the law. They will take us to passages such as we find in the book of Galatians, that we are not under the law but under grace, and therefore we're not required to give of the tithe, because the tithe is of the law. There is also the claim that there is no clear New Testament teaching on the tithe, therefore it's not for the New Testament church. But I think there's some problems with those claims. And I think the tithe does still exist for the church. First of all, to say that the tithe is not a matter for the church because it was an issue of the law is an incorrect statement. Because, folks, we find the tithe before the law, and I think it continues after the law. Moses is not the one that instituted the law of the tithe. Abraham and Jacob gave of their tithe to the Lord. You'll remember that after Abraham conquered the kings of Mesopotamia and he comes back and he runs into Melchizedek, Abraham gives of his tithe unto the Lord. Jacob, in response to all the bounty of God's blessing, gave of a tithe to the Lord. Who taught them that? I don't know. But I know that they gave, as a sense of their worship to God, a tithe, a tenth. That's before the law. So we can't say that it's just a matter of the law, and therefore we are free from the law. So we're not under the bondage to give. We're not under the obligation to give. Second, the argument that the tithe is not taught in the New Testament, I think, can easily be answered by the fact that there is no need for such instruction. Folks, there is much instruction given to us concerning our giving within the Old Testament. I like what Dr. Reamer says about this. He says, it is at least possible that God believes the Old Testament revelation on a given subject to be sufficient with no need to reaffirm or elaborate in the New Testament. Just because you cannot find a passage in the New Testament that says, thou shalt tithe, does not mean that the tithe is no longer valid. God has given to us clear instruction, and everything that we find in the Old has not been removed. There is much teaching and much instruction that we gain from the Old Testament. Consider this with me. Where are the majority of the passages on worship located in your Bible. Psalms, old or new? Old Testament. Are we free from such instruction on worship? The main passage that we've been looking at, Psalm 96:8. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. We're no longer under that, Pastor, because that's the Old Testament. We wouldn't say that. By the way, those who come and make the claim that we're no longer under the tithe because that's an Old Testament concept have no problem saying that, yes, we're not under the tithe, but we are under the offering. That's an Old Testament concept too, is it not? To say that one is vowed in the other, I don't think any of us want to say. So are we, yes, to be under the law? We're going to answer that in just a moment, but folks, I do think there is still the necessity of a tithe. It is possible that there's no need for God to teach us about the tithe because His teaching is clear within the Old Testament. Again, the tithe existed before the law, and I think it continues after. Let me offer to you, though, another caution on this point here this evening. Because there is another viewpoint within Christianity that I also think is wrong. And in that perspective, folks, the tithe is demanded and God's people are put again under the law. And I think that's a problem as well. You say, Pastor, but you just said that in the Old Testament there's the tithe and in the New Testament that should continue. I think it does. But folks, I don't think we should put people under bondage for such things. What is worship? What's the word that we've used often today? See if I can get you to think with me. What is worship? Our praise, our prayer, it's an expression of our praise, our prayers, our thoughts for the Lord. It's a personal thing. Should it come from a heart or merely from duty? It ought to come from a heart. Because worship is me declaring on a personal level that my God is worthy of my praise. My God is worthy of my expression through the means of prayer where I give my devotion and I declare that I am dependent upon Him. He is worthy of that from you for me. And He is worthy of my expression of His worth through the giving of my tithe and my offering. But woe to us who say you are under bondage to give. Because we distort it and we make it about man again and not about God. Do I believe that you ought to give of your tithe to the Lord? Yes. Why should you give it? Because we claim it as the law, and those that refuse to give the tithe will be excommunicated from First Baptist Church. Your name will be posted on the back wall as a heathen. Of course not. You ought to give because you want to give of the firstlings of all that God has blessed you with. It ought to come from a heart prepared to give in that way. And folks, what God wants you to do is give from the heart. And I think that includes your tithe. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 42, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees. Hear what He says. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Hear what He says? You gave of your tithe, and they were very careful to give of the mint tithe. Literally, folks, they would count the leaves of mint, and they would separate exactly a tenth of their mint leaves. Very cautious to tithe, very strict in that giving,
because the law required it.
But he said, I have a problem with you. You left off judgment and the love for God. Folks, what he's saying is you did something out of duty, yet not out of devotion. They substituted duty for devotions. Willing to count the leaves, but not willing to obey by the heart and to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. And what I'm saying as we go through this tonight is I want to caution you. Do I believe we ought to give as part of our worship? Yes. Just like I believe you ought to sing as part of your worship. Just like I believe you ought to pray as part of your worship. But of all of these, giving is one that I hear often that becomes so thoughtless and heartless. I want to challenge you that we are worshiping the Lord in giving, and we give and we present our tithe from the heart. I like again Reamer's statement from Luke 11. He says, Christ's message included two points. Tithing does not replace godliness, neither does godliness replace tithing. There ought to be the thoughtful presentation of our tithe unto the Lord. And there's a second consideration, though, and that is the presenting of our offering. The presenting of our offering, the free will offering unto the Lord. It is different from the tithe in that the tithe has a specific amount. But for the free will offering, there is no specified amount that one is to bring. It is one of personal choice, indicative of one's devotion and thanksgiving to the Lord. I want you to see a couple of New Testament passages that help us in this offering. I want you to turn over with me, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I think we find some wonderful principles here that help us as we consider our giving of the offering as a means of our worship. Second Corinthians 8 and 9 are very familiar passages, especially in the realm of many missions conferences, especially those that would teach on faith promise missions. But I think as we come to this passage, we're going to see that God gives us some good principles merely for our giving. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. I'm going to read down through verse 12, and then I want you to point, I want to see a few principles tonight from this passage. It says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to this power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye there abounded in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give you my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform this doing of it, and as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I want you to see some principles that Paul gives us in this passage for giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 through 12, we find this. First of all, giving is personal. It goes beyond mere material need, and it begins by the giving of ourselves. Look at verse 5 again. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Giving, folks, is personal. It has to come from a willing heart. We first give ourselves. It's not just a matter of a duty. It's not just a matter of writing a check or sticking some cash in an envelope and throwing it in with no thought. It is to be personal. The ones to whom Paul is commending here first gave of themselves to the Lord. It was an act of worship. And our giving ought to be an act of worship. Our giving ought to be first and foremost of ourselves. It is a personal matter. Giving is to come from also a sincerity of heart. Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Our giving is a proof of sincerity of love. Now, we understand that on other levels, do we not? It is not enough to simply say to someone, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. That statement is better received followed by the proof of that sincerity. Can you say to someone that you love them and not be sincere? Absolutely. You can walk out the church tonight and someone could say something to you and you can say to them, I'll pray for you, I love you, and not mean that one bit. The sincerity of that is whether or not you go forward and you give of yourself and pray for them and demonstrate to them love. It's not just enough to say it. There has to be the proof of it. Our giving comes from the sincerity of our heart. It's the proof of that sincere heart that says, I am devoted, I love the Lord. A means of that is through our giving. Verse 9 tells me that Christ is the great example. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Folks, the greatest example of giving is the Lord Jesus Christ. We came around the Lord's table tonight. It's a reminder of all that he gave. He left the glory of heaven. Understand what that was. You and I today can only get a small glimpse of it through passages like Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 1. Where we have somewhat pulled back the curtain of heaven and we begin to see the picture as it's described by man. Isaiah said, I saw the throne of God and he was high and lifted up. There were these cherubim, these seraphim, and they flew about crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. John would write of heaven and said, these are things I can't even utter. Paul would say the very same things. We can only get a small glimpse, but he left all the glory of heaven for you, for me. He gave of himself. And so as we give, it is the giving of ourself to him, following Christ's great example. But I want you to notice verse 12. We give according to measure. We give that which we have, that which we not that which we have not. Verse 12 says, For there, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Folks, you can only give that which you have. But we ought to have a heart, even if it's as the widow who gave her final two mites unto the Lord. See, it's not the size of the offering that matters. It's the fact that we give ourselves in that offering to the Lord.
It's the heart that matters. The Pharisees were able to give a greater tithe than the widow.
But the Lord said of the widow, she has given more than all of these combined. Why? Because she gave from her heart. There are some people, folks, within the Church of Jesus Christ who can write an awful large check and it not make one bit of difference in their account. And they can do it with no heart whatsoever for God. And some applaud them for being so great and so giving. But it doesn't matter how much we give. It matters of the heart. And you and I ought to be very careful not to distinguish certain people and lift them up because they might be able to give more than someone else. What God wants is the heart. By the way, folks, God doesn't need what you have. And He doesn't need what I have. He provides us an opportunity to worship Him through our giving. I've had people say things like this to me over the years. Be very careful how you work with that person. You know, they give a lot to the church. Do you realize, folks, that as a pastor, I am not concerned how much you give. In fact, I don't know how much you give. I don't care how much you give. And I'm not going to make decisions how I pastor people based on how much they give. And I'm not worried if someone who gives a lot walks out the door and won't come back. Because if they're willing to leave over petty things, then their heart isn't right with God. And what God wants is a people with a heart for Him. And that's what matters. It's not how much we give, it's how we give that God is concerned. Go over now with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Paul continues these exhortations. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A couple other principles tonight. Number one, give according to what you purpose in your heart. In the giving of your offering to the Lord, how do you determine what to give? We purpose in our heart what we want to give. Every man is to give as he purposes in his heart. I'll be honest with you, folks, as I consider my giving, I will often simply ask the Lord, what would you have me give? And I allow Him to answer that for me. And what He tells me to give, from a willing heart, I purpose to give unto Him. Even if I don't understand. I remember years ago as a young couple in our first ministry, we had a missionary speaker, guest speaker in, and we were to take an offering. And I remember in my wallet there was about $25 left. Payday was coming in a few days, and we had kind of thought, well, you know what, it'd be a nice thing tonight after church, we'll just go grab a pizza. That costs about $10. That'll be a fun little date night tonight. And as this gentleman came in, I remember sitting to myself, and it's time to take the offering, and God says, you know what, in your wallet, there's $25. I said, yes, Lord, I know. I'm going to give you five. He said, no, I want the 20. You keep the five. I said, Lord, that won't pay for pizza. He said, would you give him the 20 and not the five? Purpose in your heart to give what God tells you to give. By the way, we had pizza that night. I won't tell you the long story how that happened, but we did. Here's the reality, folks. God wants you to give as we purpose in our heart, as He so leads us. And He wants us to give not grudgingly, nor does He want us to give of necessity. If you give and go, I wish I didn't have to give that, don't give it. If you give that because I have to give it because people are watching, hold on to it. Because God doesn't want you to give it grudgingly, and He doesn't want you to give it of necessity. He wants you to give it cheerfully. Why? Because it's an expression of worship. You say, why would God care? Let me ask you this question. Why do you care when people give unto you? Now, folks, listen, I can tell you from personal experience, there have been times in my life that people have come and they have given grudgingly. You know what I've done? I gave it back. Because it matters, does it not? It matters to you. If someone came to you at Christmas time and said, "Here's your gift, take it," would you be offended by that gesture? Absolutely. "Here, God, take my offering." Do you think that's pleasing to Him? Is that a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord? "Oh, what a blessing they gave to me tonight. Oh, what a wonderful Christian." Folks, He doesn't need it anyway, so keep it. Until you can give from a cheerful heart. It matters how we give. I know those things seem to be so simplistic. But folks, I think the Christian life is rather simplistic. I don't think it's all that complicated. Why do we gather together in a service like this? "Well, I came tonight because I was hoping to get something out of it." Came for the wrong reason. We come to worship the Lord. How do we do that? Through praise, through prayer, through the presenting of my gifts to the Lord. By the way, I think of the example as we think ahead to the Christmas season. It'll be upon us quicker than we can imagine. And yet every year we think of the Magi who traveled a great distance to present their gifts to the newborn king. No one told them they had to do it. They traveled a long distance because they determined in their heart that they would present to Him their gifts. And they gave cheerfully. Jesus Christ came to this earth not because He was told He had to, but because He loved you with an everlasting love. He took upon Himself the form of sinful man. Not because the Father twisted His arm and said, "I demand it of you." He chose willingly to come and take upon human flesh. He went to the cross, not grudgingly. He went there cheerfully. He gave His life for you, for me. He understood what it would cost. And He did it anyway, because He loved you. When you and I gather for worship and we write our check or we slip our money in our envelope and we give that to the Lord, it is an act of my worship and it's an act of my thanksgiving and my praise and my devotion and my love. We do it through the tithe. The first of all that God promised me, all that God has provided for me, I willingly say you deserve the first part back. I give of a free will offering, Lord, this amount I freely give to you because I love you for what you have done for me. It is an expression of my worship. All giving is an act of worship. Yet again, sad to say that in many places God's people give only by guilt or by false pretense under the promise that they'll get more if they give unto the Lord. Let me share this with you as well. Folks, the church will survive if you don't give. We don't give so that the church can pay its bills. God's capable of paying the bills. You understand that? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What He ordains, He is able to pay for it. We don't give, and we don't want to guilt you into giving because, if you don't give, we'll never survive. My salary won't be met if you don't give. Folks, I've sat in services and I've heard those kind of statements made in order to guilt people into giving more. I don't ever want you to be guilted into giving. I want you to give because you love the Lord. In the 5 years that we've been here, I think this is probably the first time I've ever preached a full message on giving. And I want you to see that it's an act of worship. Because He is worthy of our worship. Pastors, missionaries, and churches will survive without your gifts. But our giving is because we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, and we give as an expression of worship. We give because He first gave. We give because all that we have came from Him. We give because all that we are is because of Him. We give in order to give Him the glory due unto His name. The tithe and the offering, the presenting of your gift to the Lord, is to be a part of our act of worship. It's been a part of worship from the very beginning, even before the law. It continues even today, after the law has been abolished. We give as an act of worship. Pray with me, please, as we close.